Seems like I haven't done a sermon in such a long time. This is my security blanket. You know what Thursday was? Besides the date, May something? It was Ascension. The Ascension of our Lord. Years ago, I mean, this goes back to when I was a new pastor, back right after Moses. And so anyway, years ago, we used to have a Thursday night service for Ascension. And people turned out. They came because it was a great day in what we call the church year. Now we're busy. And it's kind of hard for us to gather. And when our eyes begin to fail, we don't drive at night as much as we used to. And so I want to pull in Ascension into this day, this seventh Sunday after Easter. And I want to make a connection for you of how great this prayer is. And what Jesus not only was teaching the disciples as they heard him pray in that sense, and it was recorded for us so that we would know just how approachable God is. Now, to make that an issue, why or how, in what way, do people think they cannot approach God? They believe God's not going to listen. They believe God doesn't care. They don't know if God is real. And then, projecting inwards, how bad are you? Are y'all bad? Yeah. You know, we're the sinners. And so there are times when we think God is so far away from us. And that distance makes him impossible to connect with. Because like in the Bible it says, you know, Paul was writing about this, when I want to do good, that which I want to do, how many of you have made great plans, great intentions, and failed? Right? And then the stuff you don't want to do, you said, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to stop behaving this way. I'm going to stop using that word. I'm going to stop doing this thing. And then, next thing you know, we're doing it. And so we can see all kinds of reasons why, in our human thinking, there's this distance between us and God. And Ascension is the day that Christ left earth, ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father. It's in the Bible. It's toward the end of several of the Gospels. And at the start of Acts, it tells us about the Ascension and all that took place and how the disciples were looking and they watched Jesus go up, and then all of a sudden there were a couple angels standing next to them and they go, guys, I mean, I bet you that had to shock them. And when we see Christ leave in the Word of God, when we see that in our mind, that here he is taken up into heaven, you know, we think, here's that distance again. And this prayer reminds us that that distance is no longer. You see, in the Old Testament and throughout the time of the prophets, God kept saying, I have a plan, and I will rescue you. I have chosen you. And then throughout that time, the plan became a little clearer and about the city of Bethlehem and about the Son of God. And in the prophet Isaiah, God gave him the word about the suffering servant. And then there's also in the Old Testament messages about heaven and how awesome it is and the kingdom of God that is eternal. And then it comes to that great day, Christmas. No tree, no lights, right? No shopping, No sales at Walmart. Walmart didn't exist. There's that day called Christmas when God showed the world his only begotten Son, the birth of our Savior. And who was there? Mary and Joseph, the livestock that was near in that stable, you know. And then eventually we know the shepherds came, and we also know that a little bit later the wise men came. Sometimes we call them the three kings, you know. We learn about these people who worshipped him, and we learned about a king by the name of Herod who said, "Where's the king who's supposed to be born?" And then he sent his soldiers to kill every male child two and under. God loved us so much that he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, and some were excited and some were scared. So scared, so threatened, they murdered. And then Jesus grows up, and you know about the event in the age of 12, and he's in the temple, and they're all amazed about his wisdom and his questions, because his questions showed there's more to this than meets the eye. And then at the age of 30, he began his, what we call his public ministry, and God again revealed his glory. And the glory came in what I call peaks, you know, glimpses. We saw the miracles, the water into wine. We saw wonderful power in the dead were raised. We saw the power of God in the lepers who were healed. We heard the wisdom of God in the word that Jesus preached and taught to the public and to the 12. And we see this glory of God, although it was hidden, it was kept back, or it was veiled, as we say, yet it's like he flashed peaks so that we could see who he is. And in the prayer, that's what he's saying, that the disciples believed who he is. In the Gospel of John in chapter 1, it tells about how we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, and how in that life of Christ, we see the glory of the Father. And that's what Jesus was also talking about in the prayer, that God sent his Son to show his glory, but not in a frightening way, as it was thought of in the Old Testament, where if you see God, you're dead, you know. I mean, think about it. How many times, especially when you were in trouble, if you, well, maybe I'm confessing. You know, if I saw the teacher, I knew I was dead meat. If I saw my dad, I knew I was dead meat. If I saw my mom, I might have a chance, but probably not. Do you understand? When we see the one in authority, we know our goose is cooked. We're done for. And in the Old Testament, that's what they thought of God. God's holiness, his righteousness, his perfection, and then his wrath about sin. If God shows up, we're done. You can kiss it goodbye. But instead, Jesus shows the glory of the Father in a way that God wanted to reveal his love, as well as his truth and his justice, and his condemnation of sin, but in a way that was to rescue us and lift us up. And so this prayer takes place before the cross. And so people got to have glimpses of Jesus. And the glimpses were the miracles and the water into wine and the healings and the teachings. And the miracle was when he walked on water and calmed the storm. And the miracles were when he fed 5,000 people plus. And the miracles, many are not recorded in scriptures, were there to show the power of God, the glory of God. And as Jesus prepares to ascend to heaven, knowing what is going to happen, that he is going to be crucified, that he is going to be buried, but also knowing that he is going to rise again. and he is going to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he gives us these words about, is God approachable when we are like what we are? And there is to be no doubt that through the gospel that we come into the presence of God. There is to be no doubt what Jesus has accomplished, how he glorified and fulfilled the very plan of the Father. There is to be no doubt, no questioning, no him-hawing around about what it meant for Jesus to die and pay for all of our sins, for Jesus to defeat the devil, and for Jesus to break the bonds of death, to overcome the power of the darkness of death. There is to be no doubt, as Jesus himself glorifies the Father in accomplishing all these things, that glory is revealed in the scriptures. And it was firsthand experience for the disciples, and it is for us, by the power of the word, it is a living proclamation of what God is telling and showing us. And here Jesus says, as you see in the gospel reading, about how they may be one as we are one. And the question is, how does that happen? It happens by us laying aside our pride, our independence, and our own accomplishments. I mean, think about it. I'd like to say, well, I'll take the time while you think, you know, and just wait. But think about it. Have you done anything better than Jesus in overcoming sin? Nope. Have you done anything mightier than Jesus defeating the devil? Anybody? Just checking. Have you done anything? You know, think about it. Have you done anything more miraculous in overcoming death? As Christ done? And our answer is no, no, and no. And so how is God approachable? It's by his glory revealed in Jesus. And Jesus talks about that we may know. And that knowing isn't head knowledge, that knowing is that which comes by faith, holding on to the very truth of God. That knowing is the power of God that gives life and salvation. It is the proclamation of our forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of our sins by God. And in that, we are covered with the righteousness of God. As Christ ascended to the heaven and to the right hand of God the Father, so he prepares a place for us that we too do not ascend by our own power, but we ascend by the calling and by the grace and by the glory of God, that we too will one day be in heaven. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? It's a great proclamation. Now what happens? We leave a place like this and we go out in the world and the world bombards us with all kinds of other thoughts. Well, you can't do that. You're not good enough. No, you can't do that. You don't deserve it. And all the judgments. And I mean, I try to stay off the internet. What do they call it? Slamming? And you know, people just picking on people and criticizing left and right. And it's awful. And we are reminded that in Jesus Christ, we are made whole, we are forgiven, and we are restored. Is there any reason? Is there anything that's holding us back from the glory of God? And according to what Christ has done, the answer is no. And so as Jesus prayed, and he goes on to pray, we are reminded of why and how we have the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, because it keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God has shown us his glory. And through faith in Jesus, he calls us into that glory. Not that we may gloat in and of ourselves and pat ourselves on the back, but that we may praise him, that we may serve him. Now and forever. Amen.